The songwriter wrote, "If we could see beyond today as God can see, indeed, what's beyond is truly wonderful." Paul calls it an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. He's speaking of a world we cannot yet see, an invisible world that awaits all who believe in Christ. Today, more on how superior that world is when compared to any trial we could ever experience. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. He's talking about living in two worlds and makes an analogy with a scale.
There used to be scales that I was aware of when I was growing up as a boy that really had weights on them. So you had this balance. Over here, you know, you could put a 2-pound weight, for example, a 2-pound weight of iron. And on this side, then, you'd put enough meat to balance it. And so you know that you would have 2 pounds of meat. I just want you to visualize it. And I see it very clearly in my mind because there was this grocer that my parents were at. And as a boy, as I looked at this scale, it had kind of a bowl on one side with a little hole in it. And I put my finger in there. And the storekeeper was not at all pleased with me, and I therefore remember these scales with a clarity that I'm trying to forget. Now, what Paul is saying is, take one side of the scale, and let's call it afflictions. Fill it up. How would you fill it? Maybe cancer, maybe terminal cancer. Maybe heart problems. Maybe unemployment. Maybe a ruptured relationship, maybe a divorce, perhaps poverty, the abuse that you endured as a child. Just take all of your afflictions and put it on this side of the scale, every single affliction. And then on the other side of the scale, what you do is you put the eternal weight of glory, which is the imagery here that Paul is using. And Paul says that because of the comparison, the scale would go plunk. It would be like putting a fly on one side and an elephant on the other. There is no comparison in the world to come. The invisible world in which we shall have an eternal weight of glory. And if you ask the question, what is that eternal weight of glory? I believe it is not only the fact that we will have glorified bodies and be in the presence of God. When we finally know that we mean something to God, that He loves us, and that His attention is on us, and He enjoys our company and our fellowship, with no sin to intervene, that will be our glory, to His honor, to His praise. And it is an eternal weight beyond all comparison. I think when I look at the text, Paul has a couple of other ideas in mind too, based especially on Romans chapter 8. I think that Paul is saying that it is not just that we are going to enter into glory, but he would also, I think, agree that affliction makes us desire the glory. Affliction makes us desire the glory. You know, if you go to a refugee camp and you find Christians there, many of whom have perhaps starved to death or who have died in terrible situations, they will be singing and thinking and praying about heaven all the time. Here in America, if you're healthy and well and young, you think of heaven only as a concept, but when you are close to heaven, and when your loved ones have gone on, you begin to think that affliction indeed breeds within you this wonderful desire for glory. But I think there's even more in the text, and that is this, that what Paul is really saying is, the more affliction, the more glory. That's why he says in Romans 8, the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, I say to you today, if you are out of fellowship with Jesus because life is hard, if you are walking distantly because you feel that you have been dealt such a wrong card, and you see everybody else prosper and you've been overlooked, and because of your background and circumstances, life is tough, I urge you today, draw near to Jesus, because God will make it up for you 1,000 times in the invisible world to come. Can you believe that? Paul is saying that no matter how much we go through in this life, this is not the end. There is glory coming, and the greater the affliction, the greater the glory. That should make even the most defeated, angry Christian smile. It is going to get better. Now, there's a third contrast. The first is the inner versus the outer. The second is the suffering versus the glory that is to come in the invisible world. And by the way, this invisible world that we're talking about is going to become very, very visible. I was going to point this out at the beginning. Just because we're talking about the invisible world does not mean it's somehow an unreal world. It is as real as this world, and someday we shall become a part of it and experience it. And there's a final contrast. And that is, Paul says that the difference is between what is seen and unseen. We pick it up here again in the text in verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they are temporal, but the things that are seen, the things that are unseen, let me get that straight, they are eternal. Imagine that. You see that the Apostle Paul says that this world is targeted for destruction. It is transient. Over in New York, they have a new World Trade Center building. And I'm sure that it has been built very well, especially considering what happened at 9/11. But that building and all the buildings of the world are actually scheduled for ultimate destruction. This world and all that is in it will be destroyed. What a tragedy to look only at the things that are seen. If you're not a Christian today, I feel sorry for you, because your life basically is limited to that. Whatever it is that you can see, cars, computers, houses, money in the bank, gold reserved for a rainy day. I mean, you know, that's it. Listen to what the Bible predicts. And if it's in the Bible, we know it's going to happen. Listen. This is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? Wow, but according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This earth is going to be destroyed. It will be recreated as part of the new earth. But just imagine it. I have to read the next verse too. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, and I hope you are, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish, and be at peace. And then he says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. In other words, just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it isn't going to. Perhaps I already explained this to you in another context, but I'll say it again. How sure are we that this is going to happen? How sure are you that Jesus died and rose again? Well, you say, I'm very sure about that. Well, at that time, that was just prophecy. Now it's history. The day is coming when this also that I have just read will be history. It will happen. And all that will remain is the invisible world of God, angels, demons, and you and me as eternal beings. What's the bottom line here, and what's the take home as we manage between these two worlds in this introductory message? The first is this, that eternity actually gives meaning to time. Eternity gives meaning to time. I don't know how you can just live in time unless you also live in light of eternity. I grew up with people saying things like this, that they said, you know, so-and-so is so heavenly minded, he's not of any earthly good. I've never met a person like that. That's a myth. The more heavenly minded you are, and C.S. Lewis points this out in an awesome quote that I don't have before me, but the more heavenly minded you are, the more likely you are to do good on earth, because you know that this life has meaning, because eternity has meaning, and our works and our deeds, though the physical world is burned, will be represented in heaven and will be part of our record forever. You know, the Bible talks about us living with hope. What is hope? Hope is the interval between the promises of God and the fulfillment that God has for us. That's what hope is, the interval. Well, the title of this message is Living in Two Worlds. This is Pastor Lutzer. And indeed it is true, isn't it, that we do live in two worlds. In fact, we live in the world that we can see, and that's the one we are most acquainted with. But the Bible teaches that there's another world out there, the unseen world. The Apostle Paul refers to it in the message and in the passage that I've just been preaching on that you've just listened to. But it's that unseen world that we want to explore in the series of messages titled The Invisible World. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours, because I want you to listen to them again, share them with your friends, because together we are able to gather the strength and the courage and the understanding that we need to make it all the way to the finish line. If you've been blessed as a result of our ministry, I hope that from time to time you pray for us. God knows that we need prayer. Thanks in advance for the many of you who support this ministry, because what we want to do is to spread the good word of God to as many people as possible. So you stay tuned for more information as to how you can connect with us. And I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Living in Two Worlds, the first of 8 messages on the invisible world. Tomorrow, don't miss the final portion of this opening message on the world we cannot see. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.